It's good to be found in the house of the Lord on Lord's Day morning. True biblical worship is a foretaste of heaven. May the Lord refresh and strengthen your hearts as we worship God together. Our sermon is, Where Are My Cities? The scripture text for our meditation is Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. In this chapter, it's recorded for us God's gracious provision for the needs of the Levites, the teachers of Israel. As we look back, we have covered almost two-thirds, more than two-thirds of this book of Joshua. And we want to recall and recollect and see how Israel has become a nation. They were first a people. It became a reality after 400 years. They became a multitude. God brought them out of Egypt and gave them his laws at Sinai so that they may know how to conduct themselves as a nation. So they had a people and they had the law. And now God gave to them the land. In the last few chapters, you see how they were allocated the land. God gave them the law while they were in the wilderness in order that they may know how to conduct themselves and so that they may reflect the character and glory of God. As a nation, they are to jot the surrounding nations to faith in the living and true God. And now, with the land conquered and allotted to them, they have become a full-fledged nation. Our map gives to us the formation of the nation of Israel. Can we see the map? The first one. It shows the division of the land among the 12 tribes. You will notice the 12 tribes includes Joseph's descendants, Manasseh and Ephraim, taking two portions. And this means that one tribe is left out, the tribe of Levi. Levi, who is Levi? Levi is the third son of Jacob and Leah. Why is it that the Levites were not allotted any land? That is the title of our message. Where are my cities? Our story takes us to Shiloh. Our story takes place in Shiloh. Verses 1 to 2a tells us, the heads of the Levites were gathered together with Joshua and the fathers of the 12 tribes. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, and they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. You see in the map that Shiloh is located at the very heart of the Promised Land. Shiloh was the spiritual headquarters of Israel at the time of Joshua. It is the place where the children of Israel gathered, and it's the place where they set up the tabernacle for their worship. It is interesting, as you look through the map, and we have place the numbers of the 12 tribes, 1 to 12, and you can see right from the south all the way up that the Levites were not in sight. Why does Scripture not name a 13th tribe? Who are the Levites? As we said, they were the descendants of Jacob and Leah, the third son. And what is their role in Israel? the primary role of the Levites was given by Moses just before God took him home. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10. Shall we turn there to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10? As we try to understand why they are not allotted any land. Deuteronomy 33, verse 10, gives the role of the Levites. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt offerings of whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. The Levites are to be ministers at the altar. They are to burn the sacrifices, and most importantly, most emphatically, they are to be teaching the law to God's people. So the Levites were appointed to be the teachers of God's word and the keepers of worship in the tabernacle. And later on, when the temple was built during Solomon's time, they were to minister also in the temple. The Levites were to stand on behalf of the people before God and to stand on behalf of God before the people. And they are exemplified today by those who are called the ministers of the gospel, whose lives are devoted to Christ and his churches. And unlike all the other tribes, you see that no separate portion of Canaan was allotted to the Levites when the land was distributed. And so in like manner, the good soldier of Jesus Christ, the minister of the gospel, is forbidden to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. He is called upon to practice what he preaches, to be a living example of his sermons, to deny all fleshly and worldly lusts, to be an example of the believers in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He is required to walk in entire separation from the world and to give himself wholly to the things of God and the welfare of souls, that his profit may appear unto all. And these are the very words which the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, who was called of God, a disciple of Paul, to serve the people of God in the church at Ephesus. And there were two verses which Paul gave in 1 Timothy to encourage the heart of Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, to the things of God, to the word of God, that thy profiting may appear to all. So in modern terms, this is the work of the Levites. How will the Levites be provided for in order that they may be able to concentrate on the task of fulfilling their role as Israel's teachers and keepers of worship without being distracted from this sacred task of leading God's people in the ways of God? Joshua chapter 21 sets forth the gracious provision that the Lord made to meet the temporal needs of the Levites. There are two points, or those thoughts that we want to consider. A request according to God's promise of provision, verse 1 and 2. A request according to God's promise of provision. And secondly, from verses 3 to 10, a response according to God's promise for provision. A request and a response. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites. As we read carefully our text, we observe that the chapter opens with the word then. This word then is a time marker. It registers events prior to these things. All these things has happened. Then, this is what is happening now. There is a practical and important lesson for us to see here. If you turn back a few chapters to Joshua chapter 18, verse 1, you would see that the land was subdued before Israel. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. The land has been conquered to a certain large extent. But there were seven tribes which have not yet received their inheritance. And so as you read through chapter 18, you'll find Joshua instructing the men to go around the land and to make a map of the land, and then to divide up the land into seven parts. Up to now, five tribes have received their land. There were still seven tribes without land. And so these seven tribes were allotted their land after the map was made. Okay. Maybe we can see book map one again, just to help us to have an understanding of what we are talking about. Okay. After they conquered the land, they had to understand, or they had to divide up the territory. How do you do that? Well, they had to make a map of the land, and that is what is given there in the verses written in verse chapter 18. And the men went, verse 9, and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua, to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, verse 10. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And so these events took place in chapter 18 and 19. The lots were cast, and everyone had their land. It's a happy occasion. It's just like the time when our newly wed couples receive their new HDB flats. Very exciting time, right? You'll be thinking of the renovation, how to make the home a most livable home. This is the kind of excitement you may feel in Israel at that time. They have been allotted the land. They were slaves. They were wanderers. Now they became landowners. What wonderful provision God has made for them. And God also provided, last week we saw, cities of refuge to ensure that there was law and order in the land. And the connection for us is in verse 7 of chapter 18. Verse 7 of chapter 18 says, "But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." The tribe of Levi didn't have their own territory assigned to them, but they were scattered throughout the land. Why is this so? Can we look at the second map? There is a particular verse that was given in Joshua or in Genesis chapter 49, and you can see there. Is it possible to see the screen here? It's all right. It's okay. Yeah. Joshua chapter 49 gave an interesting account of how Jacob, in his last moments, gave these words to Levi. And verse 7 of Genesis chapter 49, you see it in your slide there. A prediction upon the tribe of Levi. He says, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And this was literally fulfilled during the time of the allocation of the land. The tribe of Levi didn't have their own territory. This is the way in which the people or these Levites would influence each tribe by their being scattered all over Israel, in every tribe, to be able to teach the people the law of God. And this is the background that we like to see. So in verse 1 and 2, we see the Levites. We were speaking about the word Dan. Dan. So we went back, chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20. Right? Now we are going to chapter 21. Right? It says here that in chapter 21, you observe a deferred appeal of the Levites. They did ask, where are my cities? But you see that this request came only much, much later. All the other tribes had their land. The strangers, those who are in trouble as a result of unintentional murder, were provided for. And then the Levites came and made this appeal. Here is an example of the humility, the modesty, and the patience that the Levites demonstrated, that they are willing to be served last. We all like to be served first, right? So this chapter 21 describes for us how they were the last to be allocated anything. And it requires much faith on their part, isn't it? They were there, part of the army, conquering the land. And after that, they see the land being allocated and nothing left for them. You see? Was it an easy thing? You put yourself in the shoes of the Levites. Not easy. Jesus said this, but so shall it be, or so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This was the calling of the Levites and the priests for Israel. And it's a lesson for the ministers of God not to complain when they find themselves not in the thoughts and in the cares of men. They are to make sure that they have the favor of God and the honor that comes from it. And so these are pertinent things as we go through and see this request that was made by the Levites. The Levites appealed to God's promise of his provision. Verse 2b says, "The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle." Indeed, God did make such a promise. And this promise is recorded in Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. I shall just read to you. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them, and the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle. And they shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits." There was exact detail as to how they ought to be, how the tribes ought to provide for this. Okay. And in verse 8, "The cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many shall ye give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. Everyone shall give his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth." And so the Levites were pleading a divine promise. It is an appeal that God's promise be fulfilled. This is the way that God wants Israel to function for its spiritual prosperity. And this ought to be the order that should be set to be done. And so the Levites knew that it was not God's will for them to secure some way for their own interest. And they knew also that they were not left dependent upon the capricious charity of their brethren, meaning that they are not subject to the sudden and unaccountable change of mood and behavior, nor of a changing and unpredictable rules. God sets these things. It was not God's will that the Levites would earn their living by tilling the ground, or they should beg their daily bread. So verse 2 tells us that it is as much as an appeal, as a prayer, to invoke God's help for their provision. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And James says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." The Levites did not ask amiss. It was the will of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a New Testament or modern teaching of that same principle that the Apostle Paul gave as he discussed his right to be financially supported by those to whom he ministers. He says in verses 1 to 14 that he sets forth this as a right. But in verse 15 to 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, he gives the reason why he would not take advantage of it. Okay. And verse 19 to 27, he explains that he would give up any and every right for the sake of winning men to Jesus Christ. And so this is the picture that God wants us to see concerning these things. I remember learning this lesson of faith when I was counting the cost of going into the full-time ministry while I was still holding a secular job. Life was comfortable. We have reached a stage of stability in secular career, in the semiconductor industry. We were riding through the semiconductor boom of the 1990s. But God's call came, and it was irresistible. I had no peace in my heart until I surrendered to Him. And the hymn I have decided to follow Jesus was especially meaningful to my heart during those times of decision making. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And stanza 2 says, though no one join me, still I will follow. It can be a very lonely journey. And that's what the hymn tells us. Though no one join me, still I will follow. And the third stanza, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. One nagging question in my heart was how to support my family, my aged parents, when I go full-time to the Bible College for 3 years to prepare for the ministry and what thereafter. I remembered a year before resigning from my job, I was sent to take a course in human resource in the south of France. We were in this beautiful Mediterranean climate in a converted castle for 1 week. Beautiful time, beautiful place. And I asked the Lord with that burden in the heart, how am I going to be provided for? The lady teacher for the course was a Christian, an American. And she asked that we would do this exercise called the trust ladder. And she placed a ladder on the wall. And he asked our team of perhaps 8 of us to stand in a row. So the ladder was there. And we were standing in a row in a straight line with all our hands up, raised with our palms open. And one of us will climb up the ladder and will just let go and fall. The rest of the people are to catch this falling colleague. It was my turn. It was a frightening experience, quite high, you know. I took the stairs up the ladder, took a deep breath, and released my grip. I thought to myself, after the exercise, if these were my colleagues I'm depending on to grab me, well, they could lose their grip, you know. I would be falling flat. But if it's the Lord holding me, I would be well secured and provided for. Deuteronomy 33:27 was a verse the Lord gave. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This thought steeled my heart. that if it's the Lord's will for me to serve him full time, then surely he will take care of me. This experience helped me to see that my provision is to be from God. And I just need to let go and let him take care. So it is the same for the Levites. It took faith to defer their request and to let all the other brethren have their needs met first. The longer they waited, the smaller the land still available. They had to trust God. They waited for all the tribes to be served first. Provision is also made for the needy, and then the deferred, needful, and measured appeal was made for their provision. So this is our first thought from verses 1 to 2, a request according to God's promise of provision, and verses 3 to 10, a response according to God's promise for provision. The key word for this second thought is found in verse 3, and it is the word gave. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of God these cities and suburbs. So we see that this tribe of Israel was to be fully provided for through its brethren by a divine ordinance. And it is blessed to see how in Joshua chapter 21, God recorded for us this commandment. They will have to relinquish some of the places that they have fought hard to obtain. I refer to the 12 tribes. But you see that they raise no objection and they duly perform their duty when reminded of God's will. So from verse 4 to 7, you see what they did. And the lot came out of the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, out of the tribe of Simeon, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. So if you were to look at our map once again, the second one, you'd be able to see how the cities were divided, right? Verse 5, and the rest of the children, so the Kohathites had the 13 cities and they had 10 cities, right? In verses 4 and 5, so altogether 26 cities, right? The Levi has three sons, right? The Kohathites or Kohath, Gershom and Merari. And so 26 cities goes to the Kohathites, then to Gershon, 13 cities, and then to Merari. And in verses 5 to 7, it's described to us how different tribes allotted out of their lot the cities. And some of these are big cities. Okay. And you would notice that there is about 23,000 Levites to be distributed in these 48 Levitical cities. Right? If you number them, it's perhaps if everyone goes in, it's about 900 of them. Where do I find the number 23,000? It's found in Numbers 26:62. It says, and those that were numbered of them were 20,000 and 3,000, all males from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel, because there was not inheritance given them among the children of Israel. So to support the Levites for their work, they received the tithes from the people of Israel. Numbers 18 verse 21 says, and behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. So where, how are they going to be provided for? Well, God gave this instruction to Israel. And behold, Numbers 18:25, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So the 48 cities were allotted to them out of the inheritance, you would be able to see. And of these, the priests took 13, it's given in Joshua 21 verse 4, and six cities of refuge. These cities were divided, taking four cities each for the 12 tribes, so 48, right? 12 cities for each tribe. And the purpose was to disperse the Levites throughout the land. And it would enable them to be the official representative of the Hebrew faith, to instruct the people through the land in the law and in the worship of Jehovah. And so the description and the measurements were all given for the Levites and these Levitical cities. And verse 8 says, and the children of Israel gave by lot unto Israel, unto the Levites, these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. The Levites were specially appointed to teach the children of Israel God's word, to make sure that the land is holy. They are vested with that role to be the keepers of the word, the very oracles of God, and in worship. But what happens when they fail to fulfill their role? That meant that when they did not do that, things would go wrong, and God's judgment would come upon them. And this is a very grave responsibility. And this was what happened in the time of Malachi. You turn with me to Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. The role of the priestly tribe, the Levites, were given from verses 4 to 9. And I rehearse it for you. And ye shall know that I have set this commandment unto you, Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the lips, the priest's lips, should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. And chapter 2. Verse 7, and chapter 2, verse 8 tells us the indictment. But ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. So the role of the Levites was to study God's word, to live it out and teach the people the laws of God, that Israel may be obedient to God's law, that peace and purity may prevail in the land. And when the people withheld their dues to the Lord in support of the Levites, well, this was a time of degeneration. Whether it was the Levites who did not teach, the people who did not give, well, this was the scenario. It was a very sad time in Israel's history. The Levites were not having the ability to take care of their day-to-day needs. They compromised their duties as teachers, and the people backslides spiritually, and the nation decays. Very vivid picture for us to see. And what did Malachi say to the people of Israel? Chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye have not, ye shall not be room, there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's this writing that speaks about tithing surprises. The Christian who tithes will be surprised. And there are several things that is observed here. It says, the amount of money he has for the Lord's work at the deepening of his spiritual life in paying the tithes, at the ease in meeting his own obligations with the 9/10, at the ease in going from 1/10 to a larger percentage, at the preparation this gives to be faithful and wise steward over 9/10 remaining, at himself for not adopting a plan sooner. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you have a plan for your tithings? God's word instructs us that we are to make a plan and we are to make provisions for this, for the work of God, for the ministry of the gospel. And each one of us are to give as the Lord would prosper us. And there is this example of the man called Quaker Oats. Some of you may have heard. Henry P. Crowell, affectionately called the autocrat of breakfast table, contracted tuberculosis when a boy and couldn't go to school. After hearing a sermon by D.L. Moody, young Crowell prayed, I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. God, if you will let me make money, I will use it in your service. Under the doctor's advice, Crowell worked outdoors for 7 years and regained his health. He then brought the little rundown Quaker mill at Ravana, Ohio. Within 10 years, Quaker Oats was a household word to millions. Crowell also operated the huge Perfection Stove Company. For over 40 years, Henry P. Crowell faithfully gave 60 to 70% of his income to God's causes, having advanced from an initial 10%. The Apostle Paul gave a beautiful picture of the compliance with divine requirement of tithing. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul expresses appreciation, expresses gratitude unto the assembly of the saints in Philippi for the practical way in which they had manifested their love to him and their fellowship in the gospel. Verse 10, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again. And verse 15, he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may account, it may abound, that fruit may abound to your account. So this is a second thought, a response according to God's promise for provision. In conclusion, we see when we introduce our topic, how Israel was to be God's witness to the world, how could they conduct themselves as a nation to reflect the character and glory of God, to jot the surrounding nations to faith in the living and true God? And with the land conquered and allotted to them, they became a full-fledged nation. God provided the Levites to ensure that Israel prospers and continues to prosper by knowing and doing God's word, God's will. And these principles applies to the church today. The church is the pillar and ground of truth, the only institution in the world vested with the oracles of God. The witness, the church is to be a witness for the world. In order to do so, God has to put in place his laws to govern the support of his ministry, of his ministers, by the generous giving of the people. A request according to God's promise of provision, verse 1 and 2. A response according to God's promise for provision, verses 3 to 10. Dear friends, may God use us to be his instruments that we may cause the work of the gospel to prosper and yet prosper. May the Lord help us to do his will, to bring the gospel to the end of the world. For a time will come when we can work no more. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. We want to thank thee for the provision that thou hast given to the Levites according to thy will and purpose. That, Lord, the nation of Israel will continue to prosper. O Lord, may thou also cause thy people in the local church today to be ambassadors of love. For thou hast said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That this may be the example that is set, that thy word may prosper according to the benevolence of thy people. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.